Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to commend ourselves to you this morning, knowing, Lord, of ourselves, we have no revelation. Because of ourselves, we could not produce this word. We have not, nor have anything to do with it. But, Lord, today, by the sovereignty of yourself in this end time, you have sent a messenger ahead of you, as it were, that you might bring us the message yourself, Lord. So, therefore, we call upon you who brought this word, to reveal this word to us, to help us to understand, to see why certain things were said, Lord, how they fit and mold right into the picture of understanding, in order to give us what we have need of today, Lord. It might be over our heads at times, Father. It may seem as though what effect this could possibly have upon us is. But that has nothing to do with this, what your word says, Lord, for this hour. That which is meet for us, meet in due season. So, Lord, we ask you to help us in understanding and give us that which we have need of this hour. Bless our souls, therefore, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're into Christ, the mystery of God revealed. This is number 20. And at this point we're going quite slowly because we're looking at certain things in the Word. Now, Brother Branham, we noticed last night in reading just about two pages and then not even begin to finish our comments on those two pages, made reference four times to the Garden of Eden and several allusions to it. So we took a little study of that, showing you that the Garden of Eden was God's headquarters, his office of administration. It was called the Garden of God. It was not called the Garden of Man. It was God's own garden, God's own headquarters. And there he put man and the woman in order to have an association with him, and also to have an association with the rest of the earth and the animals and the lives of that which is animate and inanimate, as they were to control them. They were to have an actual physical part in it. And because you'll notice at that particular time that even as man was made, the garden had not been made. Man was made of the earth outside the garden, and then God made his own garden, put the trees that he wanted in there for the food for man, and the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil were also there, showing that they did not have roots, they weren't planted, they were just there, which in turn are symbolical. And then we see, of course, that all these, man fell. And since then, you'll find in Scripture that Eden refers to a power structure or a government. And you'll see that Satan, after working in Eden, was attempting to build his own world government in this world, which would be his Eden, which he succeeded in doing. And, of course, his government was way greater than God's government. And you can see that today, as one person well said, he said, God gave us 10 commandments, and that did it. And we've got millions of commandments, and that doesn't do it. You see, God gave one man, a great legislator, a prophet, by the name of Moses. God gave another prophet, a great legislator, by the name of Samuel. They could just put their hands on things, the whole nation's run right under God, and we've got legislators out here I wouldn't trust with my dead dog. I wouldn't. God said to the people, he said, you want a king, you'll pick your pockets. He'll take your women, he'll take your men, he'll raise up armies, he'll pick your pockets and put you in servitude. They said, we want a king anyway. He said, okay, got it, and they got it. And so we got a president here, we got legislators, we got congressmen and senators. What do we got them for? To pick our pockets. With their pork barrel schemes and everything else. And for every dollar that you send in there, they give you 20 cents back and take 80 cents to spend it on somebody's pork barrel. And you've got men down in the South, especially Missouri and Mississippi and those states, it'll hold up this government here in this nation, billions and billions of dollars from one little pork barrel. And then somebody comes along, there's a little old snail here somewhere, so they can't build a dam, and they can't do this, and they can't do that. And that's best better in spending billions of dollars to save the snail than spending billions of dollars on the pork barrels. Because that snail was in God's economy. Thousands of species have been lost now by man's stupidity. I want to talk some morning and show you finances and all these things, how they're blending the economy of God by right spirit. And you begin to understand these things where God wants it. Eden was meant for God to be here on earth with God's people. Sensate people, loving kind. And he was going to be their leader. He was going to be their the one that guided and directed. It's just like a marriage where God Almighty ordered, he's the one that gave marriage, he's the one that unites, and he's the one that sustains, and therefore he is in the headship. Marriage together is taken absolutely the physical side, which marriage should not take the physical side, it should take the spiritual side. The physical takes care of itself. But it's all backward. It's all messed up. What have you got out here in the world today? Satan's Eden. Old Eve kicked over the traces. She thought she was doing a great job. Women kick over the traces. Eve's kicked over the traces. What has she got today? The very man she kicked over the traces for doesn't want. He shacks up with another man. So women shack up with women. Now the heterosexuals are involved. Satan's Eden. Now he eclipsed everything that God ever had. But I wonder what simple ceremony God had in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. He said, "This is your wife." Well, he was so tickled. He was so happy. What do you got today? Marriages where they get on roller skates. Oh, God, just you have a circus, everything else. Some type of stupid pageantry. Well, some little simple ceremony, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would have been a million times better. But you can't use that name anymore. It's too bad. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. See, that's very vague. Nobody knows too much about it. So that's just something out there that's well sorted and nice, you know. Pin it down. Hindus can take it. That can take it. Who can take it? Anybody. But you begin talking about Hebrews 13:8 the way it is, that's a horse of a different color. Nobody wants it. So we looked into Eden last night. We saw it meant government. Pure and simply government. Somehow that government was phased out in Eden, left this earth, went into another dimension. The word heaven anyway merely means an elevated place. And you can use elevation by means of exaltation. By virtue of the fact one is superior to another. We say, therefore, this is heavenly weather, meaning we had rotten weather yesterday. So that was a heavenly dinner, meaning you had a very poor dinner the other day, or this is far better than you ever had. Showing it's elevated. It's exalted. Where is heaven? It's somewhere in somewhere out here. It's in a dimension. What does it really matter? Everything is dimensional. Everything is cast. Everything has its pecking order. Everything has this and that. So when you talk about heaven and these things, it's not some great fiery moved place. It's right around us. It's all here. It's simple as ABC. It has to do with God. It's in the scripture. And everything is a reflection from God. That's why I can take you back from the genes, the chromosomes, and take you right back to God and show you how the attributes can put a little sperm and egg in the womb of a woman and bring forth a virgin-born body, a body of God, God's own son. There's nothing too vague. There's some things that are a little puzzling right now. I maybe know them, maybe I won't know them. I get anxious and I got to draw back. But here was this Garden of Eden. Now we're going to read again because we want to talk about Garden of Eden in the specifics of the tree. Now remember, he is that tree of life contrary to the serpent seed. We showed you serpent seed last night in contradistinction to the woman seed. Okay, he's that seed, the woman seed, the tree of life in the garden. Now he is the tree of life in the garden. We are talking about a tree. And his brother Branham said, thou shalt not eat of that tree that's in the midst of the garden. And he brought it and emphatically symbolized that or used it as an illustration of a woman because she is a tree, a fruit tree, and she bears fruit, the fruit of her womb. So do not touch that tree. Do not go that route, which is the route of the flesh. Don't go that way. Keep it in a spiritual context. Now, brother Branham said they would have come to it. They certainly would have come to it under the proper conditions. But it was forbidden at that particular time. And notice also immortality was forbidden at that particular time removed from them. And when therefore man destroyed the possibility of bringing forth children unto God by spiritual method, then God allowed this to come true, signifying that the bodies which he would have provided at that time at their word will now be provided at his word at a resurrection because a scream will bring them forth out of the ground. I hope you're following. Those are things that Brother Branham said. All right, he is the tree of life in the garden, which is a figure of speech. And then he mentions that they were forbidden to put forth their hands, so the cherubim were put there to keep the way of the tree of life. In other words, to keep from getting to that tree. It wasn't that the tree was not available in the sense that the tree was no longer in existence. It was the availability to immortality or continued life had ceased at that particular moment. Now, move that tree. They would eat of that tree and live forever. Okay? He's the only tree that can be taken he is the only tree that can be taken that you can, that would be eat and live forever. His word is life. Now, let's go into the scripture on that. And we're going to take a look at John, the 6th chapter. And we're going to deal a little bit with trees this morning, just in a sort of offhand way, because I don't have a lot of preparation on it. All right, 48 to 59. And he said, I am the bread of life. Now, I am the tree of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the tree that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I said, I'm substituting tree in there on purpose. I am the living tree which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this tree, he shall live forever. And the fruit of that tree, the fruit that I give him, is my flesh. And I will give, that which I will give for the life of the world. Now, I'm reading this very correctly because I'll read on in Brother Branham's, so I've already read it here. It's the only tree you can take up and live forever. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can we eat this man's flesh or eat the fruit? See? Eat what was promised. Because remember, the tree of life is the seed of the woman. And this is the seed of the woman. This is the tree of life. Now notice, God can change any type of metaphor, parable, any way he wants, any figure of speech at any time. Just keep your fingers right here and go back to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. So you can see it. Beginning at verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly ravening wolves. All right, now we've got wolves in sheep clothing. You got animals. You shall know them by their fruits. What fruit of an animal? Now he's talking about trees. Now he said, do men gather grapes of thorns? Now he's talking about bushes and vines. Or figs of thistles. Now he's talking about a fruit tree, a fig tree, and he's talking about a thistle, which is a wheat in the garden. So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth evil fruit. And what I'm trying to show you there, God can switch back and forth any time he wants to bring out a point concerning the very thing he's demonstrating, because that particular role or thing he's talking about can be described many ways to give it a better understanding. So you go back and you see some animal to devour you. It's something you can go to and get something from them and eat. And what you think you're getting, a fig, you're getting a thistle. You're not dealing with the true word of God, you're dealing with the tare. You're not dealing with God planted or something else planted, and that's going to lose you, or this is going to win you. You see what I'm talking about? So therefore, these things are applied to us in a language which is symbolical, metaphorical, whatever you want to say, but it conveys to us. So I'm reading this the correct way in order to show you something here. Because he said here that he is that tree, and you can eat of him. Now he says, I'm the bread. See? What's he talking about? He's talking about, I am the seed of God. They'll call the woman seed. Because woman doesn't have seed. It's the woman seed on the ground of incubation. Now, can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now over here he says, I'm manna. Now manna does not have life in itself as pertaining to seed in itself. This is something very fresh that God gave from heaven that men can have. And so it's of the revelation that Jesus Christ cannot come from a man. It comes direct from God and is broken directly to God from God by to man by God himself. It comes under a prophet. You follow what I'm saying? See it all type out. You understand? Okay. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Except you eat of the tree of the life, you have no life in you. You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you have death in you. And remember, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was mixed, was an admixture. It was that thing which brought forth a hybridized word, a perverted word. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now what you're talking about here is that experience whereby you can gain immortality. The immortality was rescinded at that particular time when they violated the trust of Almighty God. And God's kingdom began to disappear from the face of this earth. See? And it comes into more and more a dissipation until there is nothing left. That's exactly why God at the end time will leave neither root nor branch, because he cannot leave a root or a branch. There's no way Satan King's going to come back. Under the flood, he left a root and a branch. The only righteous person was Noah. The other seven were not. That is righteous and perfect concerning the genetics. That's the Hebrew. They were only one true human being left. And remember, he had sin and death working in him. Now, at this end time, there's neither root nor branch left, clearing the way for the millennium and clearing the way for Eden, which will never be violated again. I'll raise him up. Now, here is the promise of immortality, speaking to the Israel, the opening of the door to the Old Testament saints, that now the hand can be stretched forth. And remember, they could not stretch forth their hands, so it took another hand to stretch forth, which was the hand of God himself in human form. Who opened the book when Jesus was here on earth, and who closed the book? Who opens the book in this hour? It doesn't take the hand of a man. Can't be. It's got to be a hand in the form of a man. But it's got to be that tree of life back there. For my flesh is meat indeed, my fruit, or my eating. What I provide is flesh indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now it's a passing on. You're like the old saying was, how do we get our protein? Well, the cow eats the grass and we eat the cow. Well, you don't have to eat a cow to get protein. There's better protein in beans. About 15 different kinds of beans. Well, you're living on heavenly food almost manna. Won't give you cancer. Won't give you allergies. Won't it make you more disease resistant. As the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Notice what he said. And as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. That holds good for the prophets. That holds good for the word that was sent down every single time. Whatever the Father sent was to give to the people, that they in turn could eat thereof, and by eating they would live. This is that bread which came down from heaven. This is that tree which was in the Garden of Eden. As your fathers ate manna, and they died, and as your forefathers back in Eden ate of the wrong tree, and they died, he that eats of this tree or partakes now with me, the same one that was there in that garden, now in human flesh, now giving the life for you, you partake of that life, you get what you wanted when your parents tried to stretch forth their hands and couldn't do it to get immortality, because it wasn't to be given to them under those conditions. These things he taught in the synagogue. As he taught in Capernaum. Okay, let's keep reading here then. He said, he's the only tree that can be taken that you can live forever. His word is life. And he is the word of life. Not just his word is life, he is the word of life. And that be so, if that be the word then, the word of God, which Eve turned down in the Garden of Eden. The very same one. Now he did not say, don't you dare go to the tree of life. Now, let's understand that, brother and sister. There was an exposure there. And this introduces you again to the free moral agency that Brother Brown spoke of in the Word of God. They had within themselves the ability to choose. And there was one place, and he said, now listen, don't you dare take this tree. And he didn't say, you can't go ahead and take that tree, although 10 to 1 he did. And he said to Adam concerning the woman, this is going to be your problem. For this cause, a man leaves father and mother and joins himself to his wife and becomes one with her. He'll side with her every single time. I am your father and your mother. And I'm warning you that you're going to leave me. You're going to take this tree over here as against that tree. And Adam, they thought that over and he thought, well, I guess that's interesting. But you know, all right, you go someplace and you talk about a machine that flies. And you go, huh? Machine that flies. What's a machine that flies? Well, you know, it doesn't do like a bird, but what does it look like? Let me see. Well, you know when that eagle up there and that buzzard, what they do after they flapped up there and they get on the wind current, well, you know, they glide like that, you know, they just glide around. Well, that's flying. And there's a machine that doesn't flap his wings, but he's got, you see those little hummingbirds out there? Well, instead of wings that buzz like that, he's got a thing in the nose and buzzes. It's called a propeller. We won't talk about jets at this very time. The guy says, what are you talking about? He doesn't know. That's the way Adam was. He just, not really nonchalant, just didn't comprehend it. So the serpent came along and he figured he would do the thing upright where Adam would be very happy to be withdrawn from God.
She introduced her to sex. And she couldn't help but introduce her to her husband. Now, the serpent didn't say to her, now look, he said, this is how it's done. You go to your husband. Any married woman doesn't talk to a man that wants intercourse with her. And he said, well, now this is how it's done, but you go to your husband. I'm laying it straight in the line the way it is because I have X-rated sermons around here. Because you live in an X-rated world. You know what you do? So she got him all roused up. I asked a certain man, and you knew who that certain man was. He asked the question, I said, what do you think she did? Well, he said, I think maybe she got him to fondle her bosoms. The old thing called foreplay and all. And you know, he got her to the place where she was happy to get him to the place where they happily walked off and ignored the tree of life. They got all carnal. Not realizing that marriage was not instituted for that specific purpose of being carnal, but to be spiritual in companionship and love and kindness. So they ate of the wrong tree. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And every single thing that God ever made has two sides to it. Although in itself it has only one side, which is truly God's side. But then if there's a devil side that comes along, and he's got the way of perverting it. And you can take the lovely poppy that blows in the field, and you can get your opium out of it. And no matter what America does with the drug, someone's going to go up and give it something else that's more deadly. They make a chemical. what do they call cracks now or something? I don't know. I don't hear too much and read too much. All I know is once in a while I hear a little bit in the news from the monitor program and the one out of Washington. Quite a bit of good news on it. And they sort of let you keep you up to date on what goes on. I don't try to keep too much abreast of it. But that tree of the knowledge of good and evil has made this great empire which we see, which dwarfs everything that God has. So no matter what God comes up with, the devil trumps his card, his king, every time with an ace, until the end time when God says it's enough. So anybody that's looking for any comparison outside of a strict revelation of the Word of Almighty God, within the framework of the Word of God, as God has ordained it, you will find your king that you think is God in life, trumped by the devil's ace. Because it doesn't work the way you think it does. Because everything's in a radical simplicity. And the radical simplicity is one man ordained of Almighty God, just like one man, Christ Jesus, to take us back from the sins of the world, one Spirit to baptize us into Christ. That's a modicum of the life of Christ himself, to get us there. One God, one prophet, one at a time. And one individual comes into Christ one at a time. And each person is trained individually one at a time. I don't mean it's going to be in series 1, 2, 3, and you're all marked out numbers, but each one gets your change. You won't be because you're twins or somebody else. It's going to be an individual thing between you and God. And you get your help there. All right. He is that tree of life. His word is life. Eve turned down that word. Then he said, then here's Christ, the word made manifest. Now, at that particular time, Christ did not make himself manifest. He only brought forth the word, and that is that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head at a certain time, and that bruising would cause immortality to come forth. And the day of Christ was here on earth. He died. Then he brought them forth into immortality. Now we're waiting for our day, the second half of the first resurrection. He said, then here's Christ, the word made manifest. And when he came on earth, he was the tree of life, and we showed you this in John. Now, he came on earth. He was that tree, the seed of the woman. Let's get some scripture on that, just see what we come up with. We go to Matthew, the 11th chapter, 1 to 15. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end to command his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent his two disciples, and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor of the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whomsoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what do you go out in the wilderness and see? A reed shaken with the wind, what do you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment, behold, they that wear soft clothing in king's houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I'm seeing more than a prophet. And this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. Verily I say unto you, according among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, the violent take it by force. And for all the prophets and law prophesied unto John. And if you receive it, this was Elijah which was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now we go back to Matthew 17 chapter, and you get another picture then concerning this one Elijah. 16 and 28 says, verily, verily, say unto you, there's once there's some stand here not to see death, taste the death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And then 17:10-13, disciples asked him, saying, why then did the scribes see Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly comes first and restores all things. But I say that Elijah is already come, and they knew him not, but have done to him what they liked, or they wanted to do. Likewise also the Son of Man shall suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. All right. Let's go to Luke 17. And we read 20-21. And then when he demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. It'll come, but you won't even notice it because it doesn't come that way. It's there. And you'll recognize it only if you're elected to see it. That's why we preach the presence as the appearing. But you got everybody arguing and fussing as though they know more than the great Greek students that ever lived. So they want their own fundamental ideas, let them have it. Like as I said last night, Christ in the midst, he is here. If you've got the old dead Pentecostal fundamental idea of his presence, go ahead, you're lost. I can tell you right now, as far as I'm concerned, you're not going to make it. You say, are you going to make it? Yep, I'm certainly going to make it. There's no doubt about it. You say, well, what do you got to show? Nothing. I never show anything. That's God's doing, not mine. If I've got to show something, that's too bad. Or so I've got some kind of evidence. Well, you better make sure that you got some kind of Bible evidence then. Because then you go right back with a false anointer, and they can take your plum off the map. The rabbis that killed Jesus Christ had him backed off the map for being sweet, loving, and kind. Now, if you want that kind of hogwash love, you can have it. You just be my guest anytime you want, that's yours. I'm not interested. Because I've been all through it. So I've preached too many years. I've suffered too many years. Been around too many years. So if I haven't learned something by now, forget it. Just blow my brains out and get rid of me. But the Bible says there are those who ever learning never come to a knowledge of the truth. I have come. Not of myself, but through the man who God ordained. That's what you're looking at. You're not looking at something else down there. Looking at nature with this so-called symbiosis and all that. You can absorb and think you've got some kind of a synergistic combination that makes you just suddenly sucked in. Hogwash. You're cut off from this world, brother, sister. That's the trouble. People still think that Adam was made of the ground that was in Eden. He was made of the ground outside of Eden. And then put in there. This is something that God does. Not something you grow into. It's a radical change from the reverse. Okay, we're talking about this here. He came on earth, he was the tree of life. All right, back there, the seed of the woman came forerun by John the Baptist. Elijah was restoring that section that should be restored, giving an understanding, as the book of Luke says. That is exactly what restoration is. So let's take a look at it. So you understand, we don't get confused here. Because so many people get confused, they don't put the scripture together. And it says in Luke 1:17 that John shall go before the Lord God of Elijah in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then he explains what it is. Even the disobedient, that means the ignorant, to the wisdom of the just. And what will that do? It makes ready the prepared people or the elected people. What did God himself do at the time of Abraham? He went down there and notified Sarah and Abraham who he was. and he got them ready for the great one to come, which was the child promised, which was Isaac. He gave them an understanding. He declared to them, first of all, this was the hour of the promise, the visitation, or the materialization of the promise. That's exactly what God himself did, and that's all that God did. And he stood there as a judge, and he wiped out that bunch of homosexuals, and he brought the sun upon earth. And you've got the same thing right today. And that's Hebrews 13 and 8. We stand alone in this teaching. We'll stand alone on it. Because it's right. There isn't any other doctrine. Now then, at the end time, just before the kingdom, which they saw in a vision in Matthew 17, 16:28 preceding, it says, there'll be some of you who will not taste the death until you see the vision of that. And they got confused. They said, we thought Elijah was to come. They saw Elijah standing right there at the same time, you see, representing the prophet Moses, representing the law. Well, he said, no, he said, it's perfectly true. He said, I want to tell you this. You've already had an Elijah, the same as you're going to get an Elijah. Now, the Bible students, even like dear brother Jack Moore, that departed, nothing to say against the man because he's a fine man of God. He said, Elijah's already come. That was John the Baptist. But he said, if I believed Elijah was to come, Brother Branham would get my vote. Huh? That's strange, isn't it? How far can you go in blindness? Couldn't see it. Nothing against you, brother. That's fine. He can do what he wants. I'm doing what I want. I say Brother Branham was Elijah. Well, what if you're wrong? I'm fine, I'm wrong. That takes care of both of us. Or takes care of one of us, or both of us. No. The world didn't burn, brother, sister, back in Jesus' day. They weren't all destroyed. In fact, in his day, look, he said, you can get away with this because he said, I'm here in the flesh as a sacrifice. But there's coming a time when that Holy Spirit does it, and you won't get away with it. And yet the same crowd is screaming, millions now living will never die. And the great deceit, Brother Branham said, is this, that people believe they're Christians when they're not. Now they must have some reason to believe they're Christians. Not this bunch out here never had anything in the first place. I'm talking about all these good fundamentalists. There's millions and millions of them. Charismatic Catholics. Evangelical Lutherans. Free Methodists. Pentecostals. Nazarenes. Church of God, you name it, there's hundreds and hundreds. There's millions of them out there. There's about 1 billion so-called Christians. Out of 5 billion on the earth. Well, even that's not a very good record. 1/5. Then narrow down how many of the billion. It's not very many. Okay. Then in this hour of the appearing of Christ to the Gentiles, we have Elijah coming again. And for what reason? The tree of life. Now remember, Israel escaped Egypt through the blood of the Lamb with the promise of a symbolic, physical resurrection to a nation in their own Eden. All symbolic. Not true. Symbolic. Type pointing. Now you have at the end, now the middle of the age, the middle, 2,000 years ago, you have Jesus Christ. He was that tree. He was that one that stood there, ready to give life, impart life by his presence. And as long as they just stayed away from that one thing, that's all they had to do. I was going to tell you something. If you knew all you had to do was wash pots and pans to make sure you had salvation, I could open the biggest restaurant in America and you'd all work me for nothing. Sure. That one little thing is all you say, pots and pans? Ah. Anybody could stop washing, say, washing pots and pans, and that got me off the hook. Yeah. It was a tight. Back in the garden, one thing, stay away from that. All the rest is yours. They couldn't do it. So they blew the whole thing. Now, he came here as a tree of life, and this time what did they do? They hang him upon a tree of creeds and dogmas, And cursed is everyone that hangs upon the tree. And so the tree of life, which was the God, prophet, living word manifested, God in human flesh, in complete exhibition and demonstration of his promises, they took and destroyed by their creeds and their dogmas. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil once more superseded over mankind as a race, and God could not be tolerated, even though introduced by John the Baptist. This is that one, the seed of them. This is that one of promise. This is where you missed it. Here it is now, and they turned right from it again. And this time it wasn't cherubim. It was the blindness over the eyes through the creeds and the dogmas. And you got the same thing right today. The same tree of life is here to give immortality, not only to the dead in a resurrection, but those standing here can walk right to that tree of life, and without meeting one, missing one flick of the eyelash, one beat of the heart, one breath, go right to the tree of life and live forever. Death is swallowed up in victory. It certainly is. He was put on a tree of disgrace. That is absolutely true. He became a curse for the human race. And now through that, he brings forth a bride tree, which will be the tree of life restored back to him as husband and wife in the Garden of Eden. Oh, glory to God. By the same word and the same God. What was the word? The mortality denied, but mortality, I beg your pardon, immortality denied, but immortality promised at a certain time when that time runs out. And the time running out, remember, is only at the time when Eden can be reinstituted, not in the first part of the first resurrection. That is not the kingdom of God on earth. No, sir, you got to go back to the original. The kingdom of God on earth, God and his headquarters. God manifested to the people in fellowship and communion, guiding and guarding and directing in his heavenly marriage, which is upon earth. Now, by the same God, the same word, the same God, made manifest as husband and wife. See? Now, we're going back to it. Same bride tree back again. Notice, making it known. Now, this is harvest time under the seventh seal. Now, let's look at it. Let's go to Romans. How's our time doing? All right, got time to read this. Romans, the 16th chapter. And we're reading 25 to 27. Now to him that is of power, authority and ability to establish you. That's, you know, to get you right in there solid. According to my gospel, even the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now that's fine. Paul tells you here there is a keeping power within the church. That power was mysterious and hidden from before the foundation of the world, but was made known at that time and would establish or keep the people with God because of that knowledge or revelation of that mystery. Now the church would say, hey, that's great, that does it. Hold it, my brother, my sister. Let's come on back here to Revelation chapter 10. We want to read something here. And I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed in the clouds. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face were as a sun. His feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea, his left upon the earth. Cried with a loud voice when a lion roars, when he had cried, seven thunders are the voices. Now that's upon earth. And when the seven thunders are the voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. You got a mystery. So the mystery of Paul is not this mystery. The mystery of Paul was the stabilizing power of the Holy Ghost, God working in you, protecting and preserving you to that end. But there's another mystery. And it also must have been from before the foundation of the world, as Brother Branham categorically said. Otherwise, it would have been there with Paul. The mystery that Paul brought was Christ in us, the hope of glory. the mystery of Abraham being the father to the Gentiles. So there'd be a bride of every seed of Adam that Christ would acknowledge. They could either be bride or foolish virgin. But everyone would be acknowledged. Now, it says here, the angel I saw lift up his hand, stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lift up his hand heaven. And he swore by him that lives forever and ever, who created the heaven, and the things that therein are in the earth, and the things that therein are in the sea, and the things which are therein, that time should be no longer. In other words, there'd be no longer a delay. Rapid changes that are going to take you plumb through to the end. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets the good news of the gospel. So it tells you here, there was something that Paul could not tell the people, which in itself, therefore, was not the stabilizing effect. This is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. This is not Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, let's go to Revelation chapter 22. And he says over here, verse 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard him. When I was heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things, which was a prophet. Then he said to me, thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Now, which prophet could it be? Could it be Daniel? Quite possible. Somebody said, well, I believe that was Theophany, Brother Branham. Doesn't say it's Theophany, Brother Branham. Says it's a prophet. All right, what prophet are in the resurrection? Well, Isaiah was without a doubt, he may be mortal, and then absolutely Abraham was. And absolutely Daniel was. Who would it be? Very likely Daniel. Though I don't know that it was, but it's very likely. Because Brother Branham says that Gabriel came to Daniel, so the Holy Spirit comes to the church in this hour. So there's a connection. Daniel and Revelation go together. So at this time, it was perhaps Daniel that came to John. So John did not speak face to face with the pillar of fire and consort with Jesus. It was Paul. Great prophet, nonetheless. Now watch. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So at this time, in Revelation 22, the full mystery of God, which has not been known from before the foundation of the world, positively comes into view. Now, what is the mystery? He that's unjust is unjust still. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. It's all the same thing. And he that's holy is holy still. You're right back to the revelation of Cain and Abel. Right. You're going right back to the beginning of your understanding of what righteousness is and evil is and all the rest. Now, what is the mystery that's behind that? The mystery behind that is verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What was the beginning? Man in the garden. What is the end? Man back in the garden. So therefore we have at the end time a gospel, which is the mystery of God from before the foundation of the world revealed. Now listen, blessed are they who wash their robes, not do his commandments, but wash their robes. What blood? Holy Spirit and the bride. Sanctifying word. Washed by the water of the word. That they may have the right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. Notice it's gone from a garden to a city because the garden is the city. And the city is the garden. Because it's the headquarters of God's government. So now, at the end time, the mystery, which involves the negation of a human being to walk into immortality, is exposed at the end time, at what hour, and how it is done. So the mystery now is unveiled, as the prophet William Branham said, the mystery which was not known from before the foundation of the world, and it wasn't, is made known today. The same one that God spoke to. It's the same one that God was indwelling that made all creation. It's the same one that Brother Branham said he did not bypass his theophany like you and I do, though therefore he has all remembrance. He is that anointing that came out of God. He is that Christ. He is that same one that came in flesh. And he is that same one right here today making his mystery known. And what is the mystery? We're right back to being called trees again. Trees for the Garden of Eden. Which in plain English means we're going back to the millennium, which is all of God's planting by a resurrection. Going forward to the new Jerusalem, which is again is all God's building, a city made without hands, prepared by God. We have nothing to do with it. In other words, it is once more a placing of man within the government of Almighty God. Now, did you hear what I said? Now, when I spoke of placing in the government of God, somebody please tell me what chapter in the Bible I'm referring to. Please, just somebody. Now, don't let your minds go blank because you're on the spot. It's the same chapter I tried to make you think. What is it, Lloyd? 1 Corinthians 15. Absolutely. Let's go and read it. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, we're getting some good pupils. I don't like to ride you, but the thing is, keep your minds just like this. Now, in verse 20, and this is on the resurrection. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, positively. And he brought the dead up with him. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Absolutely. He had to become the tree of life to us, and we partake of him. See? All a part of his foliage, part of his branches. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his appearing, his presence. Now, when this comes, this is the ushering in of the millennium. This is time blending with eternity. This is the projection of the prophet who saw the judge who took him right down to the 2,000 years and ended the whole thing with the lake of fire. The same judge that was with Abraham, the same judge that was with us, and said, I induct this generation. Little bride, you're free. The righteous will not die with the wicked. You will not be in the great tribulation. The same judge that said the judgments of God are in the earth. See, now, you got the very same one right here. And he says here, with the prophetic projection of this hour, he looks right down to New Jerusalem. Exactly what the prophet did. Exactly what the Bible teaches. Exactly what we're preaching here. Oh, I know you get confused. You say, then come at the end. Well, we're not at the end. Oh, we're not. I went through that, and I'm trying to help you so you don't go through it and understand. And I'm using my own simple terminology, prophetic projection. And in that projection, when you understand, you can go any direction because you know the role. Now, this is God himself getting us back to Eden. The government of God. This is true church order. This is bright order. This is not just a gift in a room. How people get deceived with majoring on minors. Now, every man in his order. Christ the first fruits. After a day that a Christ that is appearing. Then come at the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till all enemies are put under his feet. Now that's so mixed up, it's pretty hard to come by. You'd almost say that Jesus was his own father. That's what you read. Jesus only, you come up with that. But you read the Bible, you don't come up with it. Brother Brown, I said, I am not oneness and I am not Trinity. I stand between. You ask of Jesus only exactly what he's going to do with the body of Jesus Christ while it's sucked up or it's this or it's that. Let me tell you something flat. That body is on the throne right now. The prophet said so. It's some trumped up crazy idea. One God, two gods, three gods. Accused of preaching two gods. People don't know what they're talking about. I'm preaching one God. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is bought and begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection from the dead. God did not die. God could not die. The only way God could die was in sonship. Taking of his attributes. And putting a chemistry through the Virgin Mary. That's what life is all about. It is a life with a chemistry. And it's the genes in the Holy Spirit that determine the genes in the material that bring forth. People call them mutations, call them this. You go, oh God, they're so mixed up and pitted. Why don't you just go back? The answer is in God. Took an old monk, Mendel's Law. He was a monk and he made a monkey of everybody. He was a monkey himself. You say, well, he discovered it. I don't care two bits for those laws. Let's get back to the Spirit. Your flesh is exactly what your spirit dictates. Absolutely. There's a life in there. You can't tell the color of your eyes. And you can't help this and you can't help that. And for many, many years, in our generations, we've had one redhead to the last generation. It's all gone. What happened? Curly hair. Where's the curly hair gone? There wasn't any line breeding. There wasn't any inbreeding where your curly hairs weren't matched up. You can't tell what those genes are going to do. Why? Because there's a life that God Almighty has His hands on. That little speck of life in there. And your chemical body's not it for labor, not for the bread that perishes. And consider not your body what you'll put on, but your life. People don't want to look at these things. You get Mendel's laws and all these goofy laws. Have them be my guest, be a scientist, and go to hell with it. Because that's what you'll do. Not class dismissed, that's the truth. Man's fooled with God too long and it's all over. You bet. They don't understand projection. Your theologian doesn't. It's saying right here, if you read your scripture very, very carefully, you understand that God, Holy Spirit, Almighty God, is bringing everything under subjection to Himself by putting it through the Son who died and was raised again, His blood being efficacious, His Spirit joining us back to the kingdom of God, getting us ready to place us there, and now Almighty God Himself is putting everything in a divine order. That is God descending from heaven with a shout, bringing all things unto headship, so that that Spirit that's in our midst can take us up and reincarnate Himself, this pillar of fire that's here now, reincarnates Himself in the body, Christ Jesus, and we're crowning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what's going on right now. That's the mystery. See? Not that there wasn't some mingling in the Word, but it was hidden from before the foundation and continued to be hidden. And Jesus stood there and the whole Scripture, He laid it out and showed them the Scripture. And then He rejoiced in His Spirit and said, oh, thank God! He said, you've kept this from the eyes of the wise man and revealed it unto some little baby out there that could learn. John the Baptist could only reach the learners. The rest had already learned. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's absolutely true. You got to teach the young pups. Or not dogs, fortunately. Little lambs. Don't teach the old goats too much. You can teach the young kids a little bit. Something like that. Making our kind of a poor example there. All right, listen. They are trees in the garden. They were trees. Brother Branham categorically stated that Eve was a tree. Here is a tree of life. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Adam also being a tree. Trees. All right. Let's get some scripture. I'm just jumping ahead here, but it doesn't make any difference. I jump all over the place today. We'll read a little more later. Come on, where is that anyway? All right. Okay, reading on page 64, diverting. Making His mystery known to His bride tree, redeemed by Christ the second Adam, going back home to His resort, restored to the original Eden, free from death and sickness and sorrow and shame, going back with eternal life. All right, now, you don't get that by government or going there through churchianity. You are a tree in the Garden of Eden, the coming of God, because it's a matter of symbols. Okay, let's just take a little bit of symbology that goes right along here with Satan and his great government, but it was used in the book of Judges. How much time we got, Joe? Oh, good. We're going to get through and what I want to give to you. Book of Judges. We're going to go to the 9th chapter. Beginning at the 8th verse, I want you to know that these people understood the Garden of Eden to a degree. They understood symbolism. All right. Verse 8, and the trees went forth at a time to anoint a king over them. This is a parable the man is giving them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign over us. And the olive tree said unto them, why should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man to be promoted over the trees? That's a pretty smart tree. And the tree said to the fig tree, come down, reign over us. The fig tree said, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees?
Well, this God, I would make a very fine general superintendent, and I want you people to know it because I've got the love and I've got the talent, and I've got that bag of wind especially, you know, and the soft breezes that blow and all that hogwash and baloney. I'd just make a fine general superintendent.
You know what's going on today? That derogatory free spirit trying to be somebody. Who was it? Not Knox. No. Anyway, he's a great missionary that went to China. He was an outstanding banker and accountant. He really knew financing. But he was a servant to God. And they came to him and said, listen, you're the man that we need. We'll give you this fabulous salary if you will quit your preaching and your missionary labors and come and work with us. And he said, why should I leave the kingdom of God to serve in the kingdom of Satan, which I've already left to serve in the kingdom of God? These are smart trees here. Well, we're going to elect this man and make him sorry. Hogwash, you will. They tried to make Brother Branham a leader with a PhD and a DD and you know what and who knows what and who doesn't know and who doesn't know what. And he brought up the story of little old David, little old runty, bow-legged, bandy-legged, ruddy David. Little old kid came by. He said, look at it. He said, what's going on? He said, you letting these Philistines bug you out of everything and bluff you out of your kingdom? He said, what goes on anyway? They said, shut up, what do you know? He said, I know one thing. He said, a bear came in the field to take my lamb. He said, I grabbed him by his whiskers or his beard and his chin and I killed him. A lion came by, tried the same thing. I trust him too. He said, I don't take no nonsense from anybody. Well, they said, hey, you sound pretty good. Let's give you some armor. So they brought this great big armor out, saw, you know, 40 feet tall, and poor old David down here, about 4'5", whatever he was, I don't know. But anyway, he wasn't very big. Brother Brown described, so he said, he tried to put the on, that thing just hung on him. You know, like little girls playing with their mother's clothes? Just about as, you know, just about as kiddish. He said, man, he said, I haven't trusted, he said, forget it. I don't know nothing about these PhDs and LLDs and all this stuff. Get them off me. So he said, he went down to Brooklyn and got these five little shiny petals. Little pebbles. You know, like a quiver has, a full quiver is five arrows, and a little pouch has five little stones. That's all I need. And so he just ran out toward that giant, just killed him just like that, and cut his head off with his own sword. These guys are smart, see? And then the tree said on the vine, notice you're getting pretty low now, come and reign over us. And the vine said, should I leave my vine, which cheereth man and God, and go to be promoted over the tree? Should I leave my pastorate and my pulpit here to go out here and do something God doesn't want me to do? Should I leave my people and said, and you exalt me to run around and try to bolster up preachers and do this and that? Shut up and sit down, boy. God's given every man his call and God's over all. And that's the way God wanted Israel. He wanted Israel with the prophet and the word of Almighty God and him in the driver's seat worshiping, being worshipped in that temple. Speaking to people, revealing himself, giving them grace and mercy. 3 times a year, Israel took every single man and male child to Jerusalem. At the feast day, never once were they attacked by a heathen nation. Well, the heathen knew it. And they couldn't do a thing about it. Just like I said, in the old day, no man durst join himself to that original church. You can do anything you want nowadays and get away with it. Call yourself a member. You're a member, all right. So am I. Then so all the trees said to the bramble, come down, reign over us. And the bramble, you know, that is like a blackberry bush, but no fruit, I don't think. He said, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. And that's exactly what's always happened. You get a wrong government, a wrong word, and you're going to get destroyed. And that's what happens. This is a picture of Eden again, Eden gone to pot. Eden gone to destitution, desolation. All right, let's talk about trees. Let's go to Psalms, and we'll read rapidly in the Psalms. Then we're going to take you to the goody-goody gumdrop, the best of all. You see just what we're talking about. Psalms, the first chapter, and in there, it says here, blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of scornful, his light in the law of the Lord, and his law is midnight. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not sober like the chaff which the wind driveth away. What's he talking about? He's talking about the tree here, the bride tree of life, that at the end time when Jesus comes and looks for fruit, he looks for a harvest. He boils it down not to a tree, but he boils it down to wheat.
and the chaff he destroys. The wind of God at the last day, that breath that God breathes, drives away the chaff and brings up the wheat, which in turn are trees. Now don't be afraid. You couldn't do this in school. They'd say, you're mixing your metaphors. What do you think you do? You got to go my way. Well, I'll tell them their way is the way of hell. And if they want to go there, that's their business. I'm not going. I don't care about English so-called. I like what Dr. Coffin said. The Billy Paul went to the dictionary and found what Webster said. It. Grammar is the ability to make yourself understood. That takes care of it. Haints and totes and isn'ts and whatnots. Where's your preciseness? There's too much boasting in the head knowledge. It isn't there. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor righteous in the congregation of the wicked. Every tree that my father hath not planted shall be hewn down, lost, stalk, and barrel, root and branch, and nothing left. There's your tree. Again, we go to Psalm 31 and 5. We're just reading these quickly. I don't want to even take time discussing it. Guess I got the wrong one there. Okay, never mind that. Go to 52 and 8. Something I'm reading my own handwriting. Hope I can read it this time. 52 and 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Now remember, the olive tree said he wouldn't leave his fatness. And we're to be fat before God. Okay, 92 and 12. Just getting these few in here. And it says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Very lovely. Let's swing over to the Proverbs. In Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. He's talking about wisdom. Of course, exemplified in humanity. The 11th chapter and the 30th verse of Proverbs. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. 15 and 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Let's go to Songs of Solomon and see what that has to say about a tree. This is the dirty book of the Bible, according to your pornographer. Or pornographers, what you want to call them. It's not the dirty book, it's a picture of love. All right. In the second chapter, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the tree of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Ah, trees, flowers, vegetation. I sat down under the shadow, his shadow. Now, he's an apple tree. I sat under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He's making love to her in plain English. There's no problem. Don't sweat it. He brought me in his banqueting house. Banqueting house? They're having a feast, a love feast. Sexual, plain English. But it's legitimate. It's good. And his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. So I suppose he ate apples, and now if you women are love sick, you just eat a bunch of apples. You're happy. You're not different from men. You're no different at all. You crave sex the same way man does. You're born to it. But you're born to an end of procreation and a spiritual, godly marriage instead of this crap out here. And this filth that's a little scared of dating now that those abortion clinics are, those little sex clinics in school, just may go haywire. They've already gone haywire. Read the Reader's Digest. One 17-year-old boy got 5 girls pregnant in one school. And everybody stands back. Take them out and castrate him. You betcha. It's about time something was done, this illicit sex and all this stuff going on. But it's not going to be done. That's why in this church, you young people, you don't have a second chance in this church. You got your one chance. You marry right or forget it. You see for yourself, you'll find out. Sex is a powerful attraction. Nothing dirty and wrong with it when it's in the right place. It was given by God. You can't help it. You can't help your desires, but you've got a choice. What you're going to do with your desires. And the Bible does say that some of you'll suffer. He does say better to marry than to burn. That's true. But there can be a burning without marriage and living for God until that time comes. Listen, his left hand is under my head. Eating apples? Was that eating apples in the Garden of Eden? You've got to be ridiculous. What Brother Branham told me, he could have fondled her breast. That's exactly what he could have done. Because she told him.
When Brother Brown has said a man can't touch a woman without there being a sensation, I'll ask any woman in this church, any man lay a hand on you, there's a sensation. That's why you got to be very careful what's done with the hands or anything else. Now, there's such a thing as a godly affection. Once in a while, this and that, but it has nothing to do with sexual impulse. But the sexual impulse is still there. His right hand doth embrace me. I charge your daughter Jerusalem by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Eating apples? The whole symbology shows you here what took place in the Garden of Eden. It was an illegal sex act, where the Talmud absolutely describes the truth, the book of Yabemoth, that the Satan, the serpent copulated with Eve and brought forth Cain, and he was of that wicked one. And Adam Clark, who wrote the great encyclopedia for the Methodists, he understood too that serpent was somewhere between a chimpanzee and a man. And he understood that in the womb of Eve were twins, but he didn't understand there were two separate impregnations. And when you get a woman bearing a black baby and a white baby just minutes apart, you better know there's two separate impregnations. Yeah. That's happened on more than one occasion. It's happened in a family where a man and his wife true to each other. Somehow she got another cycle about 6 weeks later, and a seed dropped down, and she became pregnant. And the one baby mature coming down almost killed both babies and the mother. And that happened in Texas, and we got the records on it. People don't know what they're talking about. They just think they do. Big mouths, always blabbing off. Read Ann Landers sometime, and you'll see she's one of the biggest mouths of all. Let's go to Revelation. Yeah, because she says what the people say. She wants to say nice things. She's a psychologist. She's a minister. She's everything. I wouldn't be in her shoes for 1,500 billion trillions of dollars and 18 million worlds end on in, unless she repents and comes to God. So maybe she's a Jewess that's going to come to 144,000. May God rest her soul and give her that privilege. I don't know. Revelation 22 and 2. In the midst of the street of it, this is the... Well, let's read the first verse. And it's New Jerusalem. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there'll be no more curse, but the Lamb of God, the throne of God, and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants, and they shall serve him. There we see a tree planted, representative. There we see the Lamb on the throne, representative. There we see the pillar of fire, not representative himself. Now, let's read verse 14. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Yep. They that enter in and stay, and they that enter to the gates and cannot stay, all which shall be redeemed. Now, let me go and show you something, the prize of all. The most beautiful verse I've retained to the very end, although I'm sure there are many, many more beautiful verses, but here's the one I want. I want Isaiah chapter 61. This is our hour. He closed the book in the middle of the second verse to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. But the book is now opened in this hour, the proclamation of the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all the mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, the bride, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Trees in the Garden of Eden. Going all the way back in this hour, the planting of Almighty God. We who came as sons of God in a perverted form. Sheep, not dogs, not goats, not pigs. Sheep, lambs that had gone astray. The life which was of God, that Satan perverted through the medium elements of the flesh and the chemistry here. That's what's wrong with chemistry and knowledge and all these things that men do. But here by the knowledge of God, through foreordination and election to this event which is predestination, we stand on the threshold of the New Jerusalem, not contemplating only New Jerusalem, but for a moment contemplating what we are in now, and into the millennium for 1,000 years, knowing with Abraham, looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. And we're called the planting of God, the trees of righteousness. In other words, trees just like Jesus. Trees off the same seed. Trees off the same, well, the same life. Call it what you want. The very same one. This is what Brother Branham is talking about. Going back to Eden. Going back all the way where the manifestation and the demonstration is walking hand in hand in an uttermost of perfection. All right. Just looking at this little thing here. Now, he's back again to the same tree, the same choice as we read in 2 Thessalonians, or did not read, but how many minutes? Oh, good. 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to take all the time today so we can get really moving Wednesday to finish up these messages. 2 Thessalonians. Now, he says here, at this great time in the first chapter, chapter number 2, we beseech you, brethren, by the presence, that's the parousia, that is the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. That's the one that came down in 1 Thessalonians. That you soon not be shaken in mind. Notice in mind. Or be troubled. How? By spirit. Or by word. As by letter from us. As that day of Christ is at hand. The day of the Lord. It couldn't be at that time. Let no man deceive you. By any means. That day. Because there's got to come a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition. And the falling away is the divorce. Matthew 25. I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he's my wife anymore. That's in the appearing. Come out and see the bridegroom. That's right. Come and behold him. And under the appearing, he said, little bride, you're entirely exonerated, and I condemn the rest of you. Church, you are not my wife. You're a harlot from the beginning. I brand you what you are. I expose you what you are, and that is it. Now, the son of perdition then must come on the scene. And he'll be on here in the flesh, because Christ is not in the flesh. The Spirit is here. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that's a great minister like a pope. Positivity. A great head. The general presbyter, the president. Call him what you want. They may change the title. But what it is here, he is calling the tune to worship. Satan is controlling him. And they're saying, this is God, that is the devil. We are the devil, they are God. So if we are God, and we're called the devil, what are they worshiping? Nothing but the devil. And the deception of healing goes with it. See how close that razor blade edge is? Yet people still don't want to realize this is the word that counts. This is the revelation. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. They say, well, what's the big difference? Oh, we know Elijah's going to come, but who knows? See, I want to ask you a question. What kind of an attitude is that anyway if you're a Christian? Oh, I'm married, but any old girl will do. What'd you marry your wife for? Why bother getting married, you dog? Got to take you and do the same thing Brother Branham said, castrate both of them. Oh, my God, did they hate Billy Graham when he said that. Oh, it was okay for the poor girls to get raped. Oh, that was fine. Well, it wasn't so fine, but you know, somebody had some fun. Oh, they hated Billy Graham for it. Good old Billy Graham. I like him. Except he's too footsy with the Pope. But that's his business. But I like him. When he had the guts to speak up, showed what he had around him. See? Oh, that's your great God-given privilege, isn't it? The whoremonger? Is that what it is? Hogwash. Young smarty pants challenged Brother Brandon. He said, well, you talk that way because look at your age. He said, I'll tell you something, son. I always was this way. Amen. Like one person said, sure, you're thirsty, but you don't have to drink out of a garbage tin. That's this religion. Remember not, and I told you these things, I was yet with you. But I want you to know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that is hindering will hinder to be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit. Then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume in the spirit of his mouth, and the brightness to come of his presence. That's when he really comes down on earth at that time. His presence is different from the other presence. One is the Holy Spirit, one is the physical. Even in his presence is after the working, that's the Satan now. His presence after the Antichrist, after working Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. The real false prophet, every wonderful signs and wonders, and loving person, oh, say, oh, he's just a great man. You couldn't help but worship the guy. Say, well, he's really just like a second incarnation. Oh, he's a great man. Yes, yes. But he's got that same heart in there. Wolf in sheep clothing, rending, devouring. See? With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And what is unrighteousness? going through the acts and the ministries outside of the revelation. Not producing a filthy, vulgar, filthy thing, as men would think, but in the height of refinement and science and understanding. Now listen, because they received not the love of the truth. Now notice it didn't say because they received not the truth. They had to receive the truth because they heard it. But they had no love for it. Then where is real love to begin? In the Word. By the Word and from the Word. The Word is the conduit of the Holy Ghost. Then if the love of God, which is the Holy Ghost, be in you, and you can't love that Word, then what have you got? You got a fornicating mind. You're out there looking at every skirt down the road. Now, as long as you live, you'll be attracted. But you can be attracted to the right thing. Keep your love affairs at home. Keep your love affairs with Christ. Keep it in the Word. Now, stick with that. That's what's going to pay off. Look at what Sarah did. Sarah said, well, Abraham, I tell you what. You have a love affair with Hagar here, and I shall let her bear on my knees, and I'll take the boy if it's a boy, and I believe it'll be a boy, and that'll be the promise. Oh, what has Israel got today to pay for that loused-up, rotten, crappy thing Abraham did? And we're paying a price, too. You don't dare go there to Europe or any place else you dare to go, because those sons of Ishmael and Esau have messed everything up. Give them our wheat. Give them everything. And then they'll raise the price of oil. Should be one bushel of wheat to one barrel of oil. I'll tell you, I'd sooner have our wheat over here and just walk to town or not walk anywhere and eat my wheat than try to dig oil. America's stupid. See, they sold out to hell for so many years, they don't know which way they're going. They'll never come back. There's no way. It started when great Mr. Roosevelt, the great hero, the great god of the Democrats. The first book he chose for his library was not the Bible, but Grapes of Wrath by Steinbeck. And you know what she was. As the world knows, you know what he was. One dear old friend of mine, Maggie Davis, 81 years of age, said, she said the Roosevelts weren't immoral. She said they didn't have any morals. She meant they were amoral. And you got the same thing, the same stinking mess right today. And there are the trees that have eclipsed everything. They've risen above every kingdom, everything that God ever had in America. They've raised right up there the children of the devil. And the call goes out today. Do you want to stay with that bunch? Do you want to come on out? Which planting are you want to get planted under? Which way do you want to go? See, all right, listen. And now there's so much here we could just keep on going. Notice the tree of Christ, the body in the garden. What body in the garden? Body of Gethsemane? The body in the tomb? Or was there a body there? Even a parent? I can't answer your question. I could go many ways on that. I just leave it be. But now making his mystery known to his bride tree, whatever was there is the same one that's here. Making mystery known to bride tree, which has been redeemed by Christ, who is the second Adam. He's the last Adam. He was the last Adam. There aren't going to be any more. He was the second man. The first earthy, the second the Lord from heaven. There won't be any more of those either. All right? That's Christ in the church today. Well, he said, here, Christ, the second Adam, you believe it. Going back home to Eden with his fallen wife redeemed. Back home again. That's Christ in the church today. Taking his wife back. See the threefold mystery now. God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in the church. And together, back to original Adam and Eve again. What's that mean? Perfect innocence under the guidance of God. Back to where they're supposed to be. Now remember, before she can get back into Eden, she's got to be restored. So you're looking at a restoration now that's pronounced by God. You are fit for Eden because before you step inside, you'll get the bodies you couldn't get. You understand what I'm saying? It's an N-O-W message. You ever hear the people called the now people? It's the same as those called the now thing. It means the in thing. Everything else is passe, it's dated. It is outmoded. This is a funny thing. Why I look at people, they all want to go back to yesterday. Brother Branham said, he said, it's a spirit on America. They want to go Western. They want to go antique. They want to go this. They want to get back. They're trying to get back to the Garden of Eden because the spirit is indicating this is that hour and it's being imitated by the devil. Because the same spirit of life that was there was to give life and bring forth children, right? That same devilish spirit said, look, I'll tell you this way, and he imitated it. He got their eyes turned. Get your eyes turned toward this word. It's fully modern. It's fully updated. It's fully the presence and spirit of God given to us at this hour. And this is what they turned down. They don't have the love of the truth. And God gives a strong delusion that they all might believe a lie. And the strong delusion is the manifestation of perfect gifts in the hands of wrong people. And that they all might be condemned because they believe not the truth. But they had pleasure in going the way of the word, which they discerned and interpreted under their own fire and interpretation. Right back to Cain and Abel. We're right back to Cain and Abel, but thank God we've gone past Cain and Abel. We've gone back to the place where in spite of ourselves we can reach forth our hands and come into eternal life. See the threefold mystery now. Christ manifested in the church, all together to bring back the original Adam and Eve again. Man and woman, which are one, made out of the same blood, the same spirit, everything else. There's what we saw in Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, you can see in there that God Almighty, as the husband, and typing the husband and the woman, the man is responsible for the woman is not for the man. And on Judgment Day, Brother Branham said, man, you will be judged for your wife, she will never be judged for you. And that's exactly how it is today with us in Christ. Judgment fell upon him, so therefore the bride is completely free. She's exonerated and totally one with him, ready to go back home. And that's why Brother Branham said, do you understand what he said concerning Abraham, Paul said concerning David, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Didn't say the man didn't sin. Said the Lord will not impute it. Remember, back to the days of Adam and Eve, he had to impute it. As Adam fell, all fell with him in sin. But in this hour, as God raised Jesus, every single one is free. All right, listen. What are we talking about here? We're talking about then trying to epitomize this for you. We're going to quit. God's life was translated into a human form. And this is what Eden is all about. This is what the gospel is all about. This is what the tenure of God as being our great Savior, Redeemer, what it's all about. God's life translated into human form. That eating and drinking. Yep, one with another. One with nature. And working in nature. That's what God had in the garden. And it was supposed to be forever that way. And the seventh seal was there in the Garden of Eden to be broken. Had they stretched forth their hand, but they couldn't touch it. And now immortality has been unveiled to us, so that once more God's life is translated as originally into human form, that is eating and drinking, one with nature, working in nature. But it's going to be that way forever. That's why the Bible says over here, they shall plant trees. Yep, another won't eat. Plant vineyard, one another won't eat. They'll build houses, one won't occupy. All those successively, the children of God through all ages, be there in the millennium together. Under the power of Almighty God. There in a blissful universe. How would you like, listen, let your minds go this morning as we close. How would you like to be just the way you are, except you're not sick? Look at, the greatest thing in life is a good marriage. If it isn't the greatest thing in life, why did God give Adam a wife? If Brother Branham said if God could have given man a better gift than a woman, he would have done it. But he gave his own son a wife, showing that's the greatest thing he could have. Now, what would you, listen, look, we view life out here. We read books and we say, look what this family did. Look what this family did. Look what these did. And look what these did. And we got a million families out here that were fantastic. And you put it all together and say, oh, in those million families, I see everything I would really love to have. But there's something still missing. There is sickness. There is disappointment. There is tragedy. There is death. There is uncertainty. There are problems and problems. You say, well, I like the idea of how they overcame. But they don't overcome death. And they suddenly cease. And the lovely person dies out. And the dirty dog stays on. The Queen Victoria, if she was the woman they said a good woman, passes away, and the Genghis Khan survived. Good King Wenceslas goes down the drain, but Stalin is prolonged. I don't care what you're looking for. It isn't there. Until one day you say, hey, like I said to Brother Branham, wouldn't it be nice if we could grow up and marry and be loving, kind people and raise our families without sickness, without sin. Without the remorses that come in our lives. to just have that light that something is calling for. And he said, Lee, what you're asking for is the millennium. And I've never ceased to ask for it because I'm a romanticist. Deep within my crummy way of living and expressing myself, and the hardened exterior that I put on as a facade for all these years, deep down within inside, there is a deep that calls for something that we've never experienced, but only in a shadow. Never in a reality. Always a reality hangs just beyond. That's what it's all about. There is a land beyond the river that they call the sweet river. And we only reach its shores by faith decree. One by one we'll reach its portal there to dwell with the immortal when they ring that golden bell. But it wasn't the golden bell, my brother, sister. They missed the boat. It was a shout.
Amen.
That came down from heaven. Yes, getting ready to go back. You say, what's to get ready? There's nothing. Brother Branham illustrated on the great, beautiful scene out there in the, I think it was perhaps Sacramento, I'm not sure, where they have the living fire, make a waterfall, as it were, a firefall. And he said, the man below screamed, all things are ready, let the fire fall. The same prophet screamed, all things are ready, come to the wedding supper. Everything you need to put you in that rapture, to get you there, you now have under the seventh seal. All those mysteries, which some of them are unveiled, we can't understand them all. We know one thing, though we can't plumb every depth, we understand this point. All things are ready, and this is it, that we have sold out, that this is that time, this is that hour, this is that life. This is it, and we are a part of it. And if this isn't, then all right. Live or die, sink or swim. This is as far as we're going. Because this is it. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to praise you again for your good word of truth, Lord, because it is surreal. You may fool around with this and fool around with that and look at this and look at that, Lord. Examine this and examine the other thing, but down deep within our hearts, we know we have struck reality, that this is that as the prophet said it was, back to Eden restored. This in this last day, God himself doing this, as it was always God himself. God himself putting us on trial. God himself on trial. Lord, you've never been unfair. We've just thought it was unfair. But you've already let us know if we just stand back and relax and listen to the truth, Lord, and let your spirit woo us in acts of love to realize there's no temptation falling us and testing what's common to all men. You've always made a way of escape. And you've always made it, Lord, that if a man suffer, be glorified with you. And you've always made it, Lord, that no man will ever owe you anything. But you made it, Lord, that you give man everything. And no matter what man does, he's paid back more than 1,000,000,000,000 times. There is no way that man could ever do anything, Lord. He couldn't of himself anyways. All devolves upon you. As your own word said, is Christ in you, working his good pleasure after his own good desires. So, Father, we thank you. We see this morning we are those trees planted by the river of life. Absolutely. The great tree of life on that river. And we little trees on the same river, going into that great kingdom, getting ready for the millennium. Oh God, may our vision no longer be dim. Make us eagle-eyed people as we go up into the heavenly places, and the earth becomes dim, and we see through the riven clouds, and once more see Eden being formed upon this earth by the grace of Almighty God. That great kingdom in a dimension, getting right ready, Lord, to burst upon the scene, and we part of it, getting ready, Lord, to go all the way to the great New Jerusalem. Father, we're a little bit, we're just not a little bit, we're too much like those apostles who met with you on the road to Emmaus. They knew something was going on. They knew something had gone on. They knew that something was there and they couldn't place it. They were more or less rattled. Lord, I don't believe we're rattled like they are, but we are in that bit of a quandary. Something great is going on and we just can't fathom. We just can't fit into it. But Lord, when you spoke and you revealed yourself and you opened that scripture, they fit right in like a hand into a glove. Oh God, this morning, make it the same with us. Make us little fingers fitting right into that great glove of the revelation of yourself, Lord. Hand in glove, as it were, this morning. Little trees following the big tree down that river of life, going right into the millennium. God, divest us, we pray, of every single one of the foibles of life that manifest through us. Those things that we call, Lord, complexes, this and that. Nothing but beautiful little words of the devil snarling up people. Lord, we know there's just one thing, sin worketh in us. And oh God, we sigh and we cry against it. We hate it. We hate the very thing, Lord, that comes in the flesh. The very flesh that is stained in these things, Lord, we despise it. Oh God, we're waiting for that time now. Momentarily when death We'll be swallowed up in the victory, trapped as a wild animal in a cage, and we can pass on, Lord, to that great and glorious day where there's no more sin. When no man looks at his wife with little problems, or she looks at her husband with problems, or the children to the parents and the parents back to the children, right up to grandparents and great-grandfather to government, this and that. But each one, Lord, in your image and changed into your image, into the glorious perfection.